And you know, when you want a message to go, you send it out to some character and say, look, just say that man talking to gods. And it will go, and people will follow. But a child of God who's looking for revelation will look for revelation. You're not looking, as I told you, I said, you can't explain God head on a board with paper and pen, you know. It's a revelation. So, we've had, from then to now, Tony is a personal non-grata, as they say. But whenever he comes to Trinidad, he's welcome by me. He was in Octavia. So the minister said, we heard Brother Cyril was in Trinidad. I said, yes, and Brother Tony. I said, yeah, well, they were by me. And I said, yeah. So the question was asked. I said, the brother is not speaking about two gods. He's speaking of God and a son. And nobody could say anything about that. I still pray for them, and I believe that maybe their eyes will open to this revelation of this hour. But I know we've been talking a long time, and I want to hear the word as well. But just to let you know that the battle is on, and it will always be on. And the battle will only end when we get to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. So I know there's a lot of work to be done, and out of the 20-something churches in Trinidad, I am the only one there. And when people heard that we were two gods, quite a number of them left. But that hasn't deterred me. I am satisfied. I am happy for this word. And I was telling Brother Tony, I said, you have turned my whole system upside down. Because the things that I knew, I have to just throw them aside. And I'm seeing something for the first time. And for the first time, I'm enjoying the word. I am taking extra time now. The times that I just have to relax, I'm not relaxing. What I'm relaxing in the tapes and in the computer. I'm searching. And whenever I find difficulties, I call brothers. I said, give me an answer to this. But the thing about it, on Skype, he's always on Skype, so I can't get on to him. So now I realize that he's with all of you as well. So if all of us pray for him, he might be able to get a time to serve all of us. But nevertheless, you have a great apostle, a grand master, as you say. And I believe we're on the right track. You know, I have no doubt in my mind. Why would I fool myself? You know, why would I fool myself or something I don't know? I am certain, I am convinced that we're on the right track. And I trust that we're going to grow. And continue to share. And even though there are people who will despise you and talk you down, keep it on. They despise you, that's who we are, you know. So, once again, it's my privilege to be here at this convention. And as I said, I almost didn't make it. I didn't. But gentle persuasion, and I'm here. So, I had all this to say, but I know the other speakers spoke a lot. And we want to hear the word. So I want to thank all of you for coming to this convention, supporting Brother Louis. And when we all pray together, what a happy, merrier family will be. And Brother Brown said, the greatest thing is prayer. The greatest thing is prayer. Thank you very much. Lord, we should bless you. To you, Pastor Louis Govindas. Let us all stand.
God bless you, brothers and sisters. I think you should take a seat for the one. We thank God for the different testimonies and words of encouragement from the different ministers. Sometimes you want to wonder why we have such reports. You want to hear the apostle preach. The reason why we do this is because many people have the idea that maybe we are just the only ones in our country. What we are trying to enforce or reinforce in our minds is that we are growing. We're not shrinking. And when we initially planned this convention, we wanted to have it at the campsite. And after I discussed with the apostle, he says, well, we should stay in Durban and not move out, because the only way we can show strength is by coming together. And that's what it's all about. So sometimes you might say, but you know, Brother Louis, I've flown all this way and I thought I'd listen to the word. This is also part of the word. The testimonies and my dear friend. I call him the minister of Thai holding. That's Brother Kurt. Okay. All these testimonies and reports are just to tell us what God is doing. Because you see, you will be asked a question one day. Is that, are you all the only one? You can say no. We have one in every country. Amen. So I trust the Lord bless you. Our dear apostle will minister the word of God just now. Tomorrow our meeting starts at 9:30. You need to catch an early breakfast. The reunion of the vows have been postponed for today. Pastor Tony will tell us more about this either today, whether it's going to be tomorrow or Monday. Okay. Some things cannot be planned to the T. If you read our invitation, it's subject to change. Amen. So everything is subject to change. We find you may plan out something and then it changes. It's purely because if the inspiration is there or the leading is there, we just want to move with that. So tonight we're happy to have with us our dear apostle, Pastor Tony Gurulal. Musicians will come along. We'll sing our theme song, Hour of Enlightenment, as our dear apostle will make his way to the pulpit. Let's all stand together. Our dear Brother Hein, would you lead us in that song?
Amen. While we commit our hearts for in preparation for the word, let's sing together a song. Amen.
The hour of enlightenment is exclusive to her bride. The hour of enrichment, ministry through the true fivefold. And yes, we know there was a starlight. We know there was more. Moonlight,
Father God, we are thankful to see your grace in the lives of your servants. We realize, Father, that in your great wisdom, you are the God who can take anything, even something worthless, and do miraculous things with it, Lord. We're just reminded today at the ministers' meeting, Lord, that many of these men, including ourselves, we are nobodies. And you called us, Father, when there are other great men and other great gifts and great reputations. But Lord, you are so in your ways that you can bypass the greatest and find William Branham, illiterate, Lord, unlearned, uncouth. But Lord, in your hands, we saw the power of transformation. We saw, Lord, a caterpillar, ugly in so many ways, transformed into a beautiful butterfly. That's your grace. That's your power. That's what was weaved before us in the life of this man. And Lord, if you can bring him to such a place, an Irishman with a hot temper, who ate many of his meals through a straw, a killer that would have killed those boys, would have killed the policeman who killed his dog. If you can take him and his genes from alcoholics, take him, Lord, for the Branhams that died with their boots on. If you can take such a one like that, found in the hills of Kentucky, in the back part where civilization was a coal pot and cold heat, a man whose family never went to church, but in your hands, under your great grace and by your great transforming power, how we saw the beauty of Jesus Christ and the example of a model servant whose whole purpose, like Eliezer, was his master's will. And we see here the potentials, Lord, that if we can keep that image before our elders, what a model servant is, Father. Lord, faithful to their masters, faithful to their lords. We believe, Lord, that we can be transformed also into a beautiful butterfly. We thank you for these men. We thank you to prove your word that you'll have a bride of every tongue and every nation. And Lord, it's our desire in these meetings, with the expenses that everyone has made, including the spoken word tabernacle here, Father, under the leadership of its trustee deacons, helpers, believing prayers, Lord, their businessmen, the sacrifices of the very believers and the headship of this pastor. It's our goal, it's our objective to get these men together, to create a bond of love and a bond of respect and a bond of camaraderie, Lord, that nothing and no one can break. A bond that wants the best for each other's ministry. A bond that has no competition. A bond that does not tear down but lifts up. A bond that is ready to help each and every believer, every assembly, every elder. A bond that will not tolerate anyone saying anything about the men of God. But they are there to watch their back, to defend them, to protect them. Lord, this is what we long to see, as we saw last night. Those dressed in cotton t-shirts, hugging those that are well dressed in silk. And those who are in, Lord, lavish garments, hugging and crying with those, Lord, that just look so commonly. Father, because the garments is not what makes us, Lord. We know that we all want to look, Lord, the woman wants to look pretty. That's their nature. The best that they can afford. And the men to wear the best that they can. Because, Lord, we are wearing it in the house of the Lord, our best. Father. But it's not that what makes us. But it's that fine linen of righteousness, Lord, that you are dressing us in. That is what we recognize in each other, Father. That's the common bond that we have as a people. And may we, Lord, maybe in this generation, Lord, see a fivefold. Maybe some would live, maybe we would not live, but at least the vision is there and we have tried to accomplish something. Because without a fivefold, there is no bride. There is no perfection, Father. Lord, apostles cannot do it. Even the major prophet himself cannot do it. But Lord, it will take these gifted men, shepherds with shepherd's heart, and teachers, Lord, who are studious and faithful. Help us now. And as we look to your word, we thank you for everything that you have done in these countries with these men. Lord, I am just an instrument, just like the jawbone of an ass in Samson's hand, Lord. That is all that we are, unprofitable servants in the end of it all. But in our Master's hand, what can we do, Father? It is your great grace. We thank you for it, Lord. We thank you for this fellowship. We thank you now for tonight. Give your children strength as we speak now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you happy tonight? I try to get away from this little end of the service here, but there's some real taskmasters over there for the Lord. Not for Pharaoh, for the Lord. So I would have loved to hear Brother Teach come and share, because he's the youngest, he's the newest, and he was the most suspicious, I believe. He might not be here tomorrow. Oh, there he is back there. Okay, yeah. I don't know why he's always running. He ate with the believers, and he just somebody demoted you. Yeah, and all right. So let's read a scripture before I keep you standing very long. Amen. Let us read the book of Revelation chapter 3 and the 8th verse. I want to also read Revelation 10 chapter 1. And I want to read Revelation chapter 7, 1 to 4. A lot of scriptures. I'll just let you stand for one reading, just in the honor of the word, and we'll read the rest. And if you can put them up for me, brother, I appreciate it. Now that I know thy works, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast said, has a little strength, and has kept my word, and has not denied my name. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. I also want to read Revelation chapter 10 and 1, and I'll put these scriptures down, and you begin to see why I'm putting them down. Revelation 3 and 8 is a parallel scripture with Revelation 10:1. Now, it doesn't seem that way, but it is. Let's put that in your mind. And then, which is a parallel scripture with Revelation chapter 7, 1 to 4. This is 1 to 7, of course. All right. And I saw a mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. All right. Right away, I want to show you, is this Son of Man? And is this the third pull? This has to do with the open book and the opening of the word. Is that right? So right here and here, I'm going to show you a parallel all the way over in Revelation 14:14. Let's look at Revelation 14:14. By the way, what I'm speaking about is the interval beginning with the mystery of the open door. I want to speak about the God's intervals, and starting with the first one of the intervals, the open door. So let's read Revelation 7, 1. Oh, Revelation 14, 14. You've got to forgive me now. Yeah, amen. Did you enjoy these brothers and God working in these different countries and places? Amen. You know, sometimes, I don't know about you, but the first cause, I guess my church, they always used to ask, does anybody believe like us, Brother Tony? Does anybody believe? For years they asked me that, because they're thinking, hey, something must be wrong with us. Amen, you know. And so I picked up this little, you know, answer that seems to solve the question. If you are lonely, get yourself a good dog. Okay? Because it's a lonely walk for a ministry. It's a lonely. You have to, before your crowning of your ministry, you've got to walk alone. There is a season God calls you to see if you really believe what you believe when all forsake you. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud. Sounds familiar? And upon the cloud, one like Saturn, the son of man, having on his head a what? Is there any way you can put Revelation 14 and 14? You know, there's a way to split the screen. Do you know that, how to do that? You can split the screen, Revelation 14 and 14 on one side, and Revelation 10 and 1 on one side. You know, you can do that. If you can't do it, it's quite all right. Amen. I just want to let you know that I was voting to let you out early. I cast my vote because I'm really, I know how tired you are. I saw Sister Angus, Brother Angus' wife yesterday, wrestling with the child, and I saw her face, and my heart just went out, you know, and I'm saying to myself, that's an investment, you know. And I told her, I said, you know, Brother Angus believed in, you know, multiply and replenish the earth, and I don't know if you believe that doctrine, but he certainly believes that doctrine, and so I was so you know, I went out, my heart went out for her, and then I reminded her that, you know, look, this is an investment. Just wait until those kids grow up and look how many birthday gifts you're gonna get. Mother's Day gift, you know what I mean? What other else gifts that there is? Look how much, you know. So you just have to wait. You just have to wait. All right. I guess we can't do it. If we can't do it, it's okay. Let's put what I want to show you here. Oh, beautiful. Thank you. And I saw a mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, right? And then we have here, and I beheld, and behold, a white cloud, and upon one of the clouds sat one like the Son of Man. Now, this is Son of Man here. But this is Son of Man under the trump face. So you have Son of Man under the third pole has shout, voice, and trump. The shout and voice deals with the Gentiles. Is that right? And the trump deals with the Jews. And the Jews are dealt with two prophets. And since the pillar of fire, God himself comes down, clothed in a cloud, mighty angel form. So this here becomes Son of Man. But it's Son of Man on the trump. So Son of Man on the shout must happen first. Then Son of Man to the Jews, the Son of Man, the trump, happens after the shout and the voice. Now, I know you know these things. I just want to continue to look at the intervals because it's the key for you to understand the book of Revelation. I don't care how much you learn to interpret symbols. You can interpret the symbols but not rightly divide where these scriptures belong. Right? It is the intervals that places the scriptures. They are the key to rightly divide in the book of Revelation, which is whose book? The bride's book. No other age could understand this book. Right? Now, I saw a mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with clothed with a cloud and a rainbow. He's coming to anoint the man on the earth. Is that right? And so this is Son of Man, but third pole. Okay, and this third pull is coming to bring shout and voice. Everybody agree with that? Right. Now, this here is Son of Man. After the shout and voice, the bride goes up. Is that right? And when the bride goes up, we crown him King of Kings. Don't we crown him King of Kings? Then after we crown him, he leaves the supper. Who leaves the supper? Jesus the Father comes down to reveal his Son, the Messiah, that they miss, which is the revelation of himself. But the principal theme doesn't change. It goes over to be the principal theme on that side too. Right? Because the invisible God has to have expression whereby man could look and believe unto until they come to him. So, this crowning happens at the supper. That is why here, having a golden crown in his head. Now, the only way that he can appear with a crown is if we give him the crown. And the only place we can give him the crown is in the supper. And the only way to get to the supper means the rapture already happened. So this happens under the seventh trumpet. This happens under the seventh trumpet, isn't that right? Okay, then I want to look now. So let's look at Revelation 14 and 14. Because this here says a mighty angel come down from heaven. And when this angel come down, he has a book in his hand. And he cried with a loud voice. Now, it is a little book in his hand. Remember, I thought that many times. It's a little book in his hand because it's only the lamb section of the book. And the lamb section of the book is to call the names of them that are asleep. The voice is to call the sleeping saints. And the shout is to call the sleeping saints. So the shout is to call the sleeping saints, and the voice is to call the sleeping saints. I know you're watching me mad. You're watching me mad. Saying certainly this man has really rocked his rockers off. Right? So to call, this has to have a message. This is a shout. So this message is Matthew 25. Let's read it. Let's read Matthew 25 now. And just to shake your mind that the Bible is written only for the elect. Therefore, things are written in there, but yet you can't see them until the Holy Spirit is ready to reveal it. And when he has need for you to know it, that's when he will reveal it. So Matthew 25. Keep these two things in mind. The shout come for the sleeping saints and the voice come for the sleeping saints. Right? Then shall the kingdom of heaven be like on 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 10 virgins. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. Right? Brother Bram said the wise virgin and the foolish virgin was all through the seven church ages. I've read those quotes, I believe, many times. I don't think I have to read them again, but they are accessible if you got the seven seal series, you have accessible. So we don't have time to break that, but you know that, right? Tell me you know that. Thank you. I feel better. Don't lie now. All right. They were foolish, took their lamps and took oil. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered asleep. Now, Brabham said, when does this happen? At midnight. He said, what is the midnight? He said, that's the seventh watch. He said, the midnight hour is the seventh watch. It's when the bridegroom come under the seventh seal. Not coming in power, but coming in cloud and glory. So, Revelation 10:1 is really Luke 21:27, the Son of Man coming in power, cloud, and glory. Now, but Revelation 10:1, he's not coming in power. He has already done that from 1946 to 1963. He's already come in power in the first two signs. He's already done that. The part that he's coming to play is with cloud and glory. Right? And this cloud is identified with the prophet on Revelation 10:7. Right here. So he's coming here, Revelation 10. So the mighty angel is coming here with a little book open, and that little book carries the names of them in the lamb section of the book. But those in the lamb section of the book, both are sleeping. You say, really? Yeah. They are them that fell asleep, that died in Christ. Now this is a key word. They died in Christ. They are asleep in the sense that their body rests in the dust. It's their body that is sleeping, but they are in another dimension. Because saints don't die. They fall asleep. The body rests, but they go to another dimension. They are not asleep. So in one sense, the sleeping means that they died in Christ. And they're in that dimension, that theophanic dimension, or the sixth dimension. Now you said, why are you putting sleep in here? Because there's another definition to sleep. These are they that was in denominational sleep. You who were dead in sin and trespasses, had he now quickened? Oh, I don't need to hit that, do I? All right. So this is, were you not denominationally sleeping? Did you have to be awoken? Right? So the midnight cry, Rabbi said, what is that? He said, that's the message that I'll go out to meet him. He said, that's the message. That's the shout. And then after the midnight cry, which is the shout, which is the prophet part of the message, he said, they awoke and trimmed their lamps. Not every one of you. It is the ministers got and trimmed their lamp. Amen. They begin to clean out the carbon and trim the wick and, you know, make sure that it's bright, it's shining bright. Right? Because you're making yourself ready. The shout has come so the bride can make herself ready. Well, how does the bride make herself ready? With a fivefold ministry. That's how the bride makes herself ready. That's how important these men are. That's how important that you should pray for them, respect them, pay your tithing, be faithful to them. Because you're doing that for your own soul, for your family soul. You're doing it because you love the program of God. Amen. You've got to change your view that the message ministers are just big fat Audi drivers. You've got to change your view that the ministers that were in the first generation, the view you have of them, the distrust you have of them, that's got to change because they are not them. They are the protest or the protestant of that Catholic influence group. Because in that Baal worship, and Baal is Catholicism. You say, Brother Tony, let me share again with you. There is a spirit in our age. You might not know it, but the prophet taught us, if you want to know the progress of what is happening in the spiritual world, watch the natural world, because they run parallel. But Dennis talked about parallel dimensions. Also, there are parallels in the physical world between the spiritual and the natural. Right here. And then there is the parallel, which means the influence from above and below. That effects are manifested in this dimension, but they're not, their action is not started from this dimension. And if you watch, going back 3 years ago, 4 years ago, something started, only in America you see with big eyes, if you got eyes to see. But this started before this election in America. It started with what we come to know as the Arab Spring, where the Muslim people were throwing over their dictators, throwing over the old regime, the old man who was big and fat and did nothing for them, who had corrupt. America hate Gaddafi, but yet America want Gaddafi oil. They're making secret deals. We didn't know that. They had secret deals when they finally got him out. They've come to realize Britain and Europe had secret deals with Gaddafi. You see, it's wicked, wicked. On the media, they're saying bad things behind the back. Look at that. They have thrown over Indonesia. They have thrown over in Egypt. They have thrown over everywhere you can think about. They're throwing over. They call it the Arab Spring. What are they doing? The people are so tired of these people. They're going nowhere. Life is no better. And they're keeping the status quo. But that is exactly what happened in a first generation message. The old regime, they're in control. They don't want nothing to change. You think you want somebody? After you have 300, 400, 500 people, you have your Audi, you have your home, you have your respect, you have your reputation. You think you want to come and tell the people you were wrong, even in the basic baptism? And that you don't know your God? They say, how you get all this thing and you didn't know your God? It's a good business. Telling the truth is not a good business. You think he's going to jeopardize all of that? After I make a reputation that I am the marriage expert of the message? I'm not going to do that. No, sorry. Do you understand what I'm telling you? But the people are really tired of it. They are bored. They're not growing. They're going wrong the same old, same old. Amen. They even themselves want to get rid of them. I was telling those brothers, people are so desperate for a change. They say, just get me somebody who can tell a better lie. I'm tired of this one. And that is what has happened in America. They hire a man who have no political experience at all. Why? They rather take something than go back to the, you know, they call it experienced ministers. Experience in what? And how to suppress. How to be a good Baal priest. How to be a good kind old priest. Tell me if that's not the spirit that is in there. They, and look, when Trump comes in now, he's president now, he is appointing people who don't even have any office, any political experience. Why? He's wanting to purge. They want change. What do you think that is telling us in the message? Brother, you have any ministerial experience? You? You have any true ministerial experience? I want to tease it. I want to tease it. Brother Paul, you have any? Brother Victor? You say, well, that's right. They might be novices, that's true. If any minister said he never had a point of being a novice, he lied. But if you are a young minister, should you not have a father? Should you not have where life come from? Should you not have some image that will father you? Or you just grow into the image of your Heavenly Father? Well, if you grow into the image of your Heavenly Father, keep His image before you. Don't come to church. Because you'll never jump higher than your pastor. What? Wait, wow. Just keep the image of him. That's what the enemy wants you to do. But when you begin to examine it, you'll see how foolish it becomes. So this, all of those wise arose, and Brother Branham interpret. He said all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And Brother Branham says, what happened? He said, when he said all those virgins arose, he's interpreted. He said, they arose all the way going back to Paul days. All the way back to the first age. All the way back to the first age. All the way back to Pentecost. They arose. So, in go ye out to meet him, that is not just talking to the living. That's also talking to the dead. Because the shout comes for the living sleeping, see. The shout comes for the bride that has been awoken, and it's come for the dead so that she can be awoken also. So you have shout and voice in the midnight hour. So there are three sleepings here. Right? There's the denominational living that is sleeping as denominationally asleep. Or denominationally dead, as you would put it. And there's a resurrection. And then there are dead, them that are dead in Christ. They also will be awakened under the voice fold of it. How many sees that? All right. So let's go to John, Ephesians 5 and 13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. So when light come, you can judge everything. Therefore he said, well, when does light come, friend? When does the judge appear? When will this really happen? When will it really fully manifest all darkness? At the opening of the word. See, all things are reproved that are manifest by the light. But what do it make manifest is light. See, Luther couldn't see the whole thing. But today, everything is manifest. There's not a spirit can hide. Even the 200 million demons, you can't see them, but yet the bride can see what they're doing. You see? Then he says, therefore he said, awake thou that sleepeth. Oh, there you go. Awake thou that sleepeth. Arise from the dead. Now you see how the compound meaning moves now? If for us, we read that, we only think about the living bride. But that is going all the way back down here under the voice. And for the living, that going under the shout. Therefore he said, awake thou that sleepeth. Sleepeth out the denominational dead. And out of them that have passed on. Arise from the dead. And Christ shall give thee light. Now watch carefully. The same revelation that we have. When they raise, they're going to have the same revelation. I don't have to tell you that, right? I don't have to tell you that. Okay. Now, follow again here. See this here, this part here. When does that happen? He said, awake thou that sleepeth, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now, I want to kind of make a couple points here. Let us go to the book of 1 Corinthians 4 and 5. When will this light, when would it be made manifest at the time? Because that is the time that thou arise. Therefore, judge nothing before the season until the Lord come, who will bring to what? The hidden things, everything that is hidden, he's going to bring to light the hidden things of what hidden things? All hidden things. So this is the hour when the judge is appearing. Who is this descending? That's the judge. But first he's revealing his final stage of mercy. And I'll make manifest the counsels of the heart. Then shall every man have praise of God. All right. So now, I want to show you something here. That in Revelation 14 and 14, that's your trump. And Revelation 10:1, between Revelation 10:1, that's your shout and voice. So this says he descends in a cloud, but you're missing the mighty angel. To pick up the Jewish fold of the mighty angel, you need to go to Daniel 12. Let's go to Daniel 12. I mean, you understand what I'm doing? I want to start getting your mind thinking. To understand your seals, you will not see it in the Gentile fold. You'll see it parallel in the Jewish fold. Because that's how God hid it. In other words, what God did, he said, you know what, I'm going to take, since the seventh seal and the seventh trumpet is the same, except one is for the Jew, one is for the Gentile, what I'm going to do, I'm going to switch them. And since I'm not going to reveal clearly the seventh seal here, but I will reveal the seventh trumpet clearly here. And if I reveal the seventh trumpet, the bride will catch it because she knows the secret is in the interval. All right? So the great secret lies in the interval, right? Do you believe that? All right. All right. And at that time, what time? At the time when God finishes with the Gentiles. He don't deal with two people at the same time. At that time, shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the people, for the children of Daniel's people are the Jews. So now we know that Revelation 10:1 is Michael on the Gentile side. Because we are the angel is being named on the Jewish seven trumpet side. And what the seven trumpet is for the Jews, the seven seal is for the Gentiles. Amen. Watch again. There shall be a time of trouble. Oh. So this time of trouble is called Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah 30:6. What time is it? It's 5:15. Oh, that the lights are really can't see at all. Oh God. Here's what occurred, screaming all the answer. What's wrong with that? You didn't catch the secret. All right, it's 9:15. I know you're all tired. I know it's a long day, and I know that we want to get a lot in. I'm not going to try to repeat what you already know. I want to add to it. But to do that, I need a good half an hour. That sounds fair? Amen. So if you feel tired and want to sleep, just go ahead and do it. Just don't snore. You and I, we can't song together. We are at home. Is that all right? Is this your family? All right. Then we need to let down the bars. You understand? We take off those, you know, starchy shirts. Right? If a sister lean on a sister, it's okay. Just don't lean on the brothers. We're not that far yet in the rapture. The body change hasn't happened yet. All right? If you see somebody nodding, don't go and say. Let them nod. They're also worshiping. You see them every once in a while, amening. Are you okay? All right, shake somebody's hand. I mean, really shake it so the blood circulates. Amen. God bless. God bless Mother Gerald. Amen. All right. All in the family. You don't use it, you what? Right here, it's 30:7, not 30:6. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. So in the time of Jacob's trouble, God is going to save the 144,000. Is that right? Amen. No yoke is going to be upon them anymore. He's going to deliver them. But when? It's in a time of Jacob's trouble. Alright? Now, let us go back to Daniel 12 now and see what kind of Jacob trouble will do. And at that time, at the time of Jacob's trouble, you see, at the time when the Gentiles are over, the bride has gone up, she has crowned him, 3.5 years supper has done, then he comes down because the father cannot leave the supper. And let me prove it to you, it's not the son. You hear Abraham says Jesus coming to reveal himself. He's coming to show them. You see, Jesus does not reveal at all. The only one can reveal is God. God is the only one can give revelation. Don't get the body name mixed up. I'll read that for you in a minute. I have to go back and forth. If I have to read it, you have to give me back my minutes. Just if I read it for you, give me back my minutes, right? And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, which is the Jews. And there shall be a time of trouble. What kind of trouble? Tell me. Jacob's trouble. Now, the Jews have two kinds of trouble. The trouble that we are talking about here must be defined. For the Jews, Jacob's trouble is called the Great Tribulation. I'm sorry. I take that back. It is the tribulation. Right? It's the tribulation. That's at the time of the trump, the seventh trump. But under the fifth and sixth trumpet, that period of time is called a pre-trib. It is called pre-tribulation or amateur tribulation. Now, for you ministers who have been taught by first generation, I want you to listen very carefully, because it's going to rob some of you a little bit. It's going to rob. And if you've already been indoctrinated, you're going to have a problem. Right? That is how it works. There shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. This time of Jacob's trouble, that was only a foreshadow of it in the Old Testament. But this is the real thing. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one of them that shall be found in what? Is there a mighty angel? Is there a book? Is there a deliverance? Is there a time of judgment? Well then, we have the same thing. Let's look at Revelation 10:1 and examine it a little bit more. Is Revelation 10:1 connected with the opening of the seals? Does the seal open under the fifth seal or the sixth seal? What's the sixth seal called? Ooh. You say, Brother Tony, can you prove it? Yes. From the time the Lamb got off the mercy seat to get the book, before he got the book, that was a judgment seat. Think about it. Here he is sitting with the book. And that symbol. We understand symbols, right? He's sitting with the book. Right? He gets off the mercy seat. What did the prophet say when he got off? What happens? That's a judgment seat. So the taking of the book and the opening of the seal and the coming down happen under the sixth seal. Right? And also, Moses and Elijah, when they come down, they are already coming down under a sixth seal, because a sixth seal already happened because he got off the seat. Did our prophet say the opening of the seals under the sixth seal? Did he say all trumpets blow under the sixth seal? Amen. Then we are looking at the perfect parallel between the seventh seal and the seventh trumpet. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. Under what seal? Tell me, a time of trouble. A time of judgment. Clothed with a cloud, a rainbow was upon his head. His face as were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Who is that mighty angel? That's Michael. That mighty angel is Michael. All right, let's pick him up now. Let's go to Isaiah 63:9. You know where I'm going? I just want to make sure that we parallel that Michael is connected with Moses. Because we had a Moses in this day. And if we had a Moses, we have to have an angel of the covenant. And the angel of covenant is God in the form of a special angel he uses for his presence. Because God is invisible, you always have to have some morphine. He has to morph into something. And he don't just make something up, he uses what he already has. In all the affliction he was afflicted. And the angel of his, the angel of whose presence? God's presence, Jehovah's presence, saved them. In his love and his pity, he what? He bare them and carried them all the days of old. Exodus 23 and 20. Did he preach as I was with Moses? Did he preach Moses and the angel of the covenant? Did he preach the angel of the Lord? Well, if we have a Moses, we could find a parallel. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way. Who kept the William Branham? Who said I must behave the way that angels say to behave? And to bring thee into a place which I have prepared. Beware of him. Obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgression. For my authority is in him. That angel is the presence of God, and he's got teeth he could bite. He's not a powerless angel. Father, what should I do? He's not listening to me. What should I do? This angel only comes to major prophets. And this angel is connected with the mysteries of God. Especially with the resurrection and the rapture. I cannot hear you. Because, you know, in every country you have number one. And number one don't talk to number two. Number one in England talk to number one in America. Number two in England talk to number two in France. But number one don't talk to number two or number three. Those are the heights of offices. President talk to president. Is that right? Amen. Secretary of State talk to Secretary of State. Is that right? And everyone knows who they could talk to because they know the power of that office. So when Satan wanted to dispute about the body of Moses, who did he go to? He disputed about who? Because Michael holds the secret and is part of the secret of the resurrection. I cannot hear you. Michael was the body that anointed. Listen. Michael was the angel that come down with the presence of God to anoint the messenger for the shout. Is that not true? And then, who is going to be the anointing under the voice? Did he not say the voice of the archangel? Well, the archangel is connected with the shout. The archangel connected with the voice. And now we know Daniel. Amen. The archangel is connected with the trump. Is that not right? If I'm reading my scriptures right. Right? Beware of him, obey his voice. You will not provoke him, for he will not pardon your transgression. For my authority is in him. If thou shalt indeed obey his voice, watch carefully, and do all I speak. Amen? That is what we call direct representation. That is God, either personal presence or represented presence. That's why he's called the angel of his presence. God could be with him, or God doesn't have to be with him. Then I will be an enemy of thy enemy. Oh, let the prophet follow this angel. And all his enemies wouldn't stand before him. Why? Because he had that angel coming down his side. Any challenges? He said, why don't you come? Because you're afraid of that angel. Because you see, you have an obedient voice. And I will, as an enemy of thy, and an adversary of thy adversary. For mine angel, whose angel? God's angel. You see, God has two chief. God always chooses the chief of an animal species to represent himself. The lion in the cats. The eagle in the birds. The ox in the family of cattle. Right? Michael above all the other angels. Jesus above all other men. For a unique position to represent the presence of God in the angelic world, the presence of God in nature, in the heavens, I can't hear you, in the heavens, on the earth, and with man. That is why the Jehovah Witness can't put it together, so they say Michael is Jesus. That Jehovah Witness doctrine. And you know some oneness that preached that in a message too? You don't know. They preach that. I know they preach that. In Trinidad, they preach that. But Henry might have said amen sometime with that. Brother Henry, just tell him, I want you to know all these years I've taken back my amen, brothers. All right. Now his job is to bring thee into the land. He will not leave. That's why Brother Bam said the pillar of fire is here to take you on to the millennium. To the millennium. All right. Everybody's happy? We know that. Do you see the angels in the shout voice and the trump? Do you see the Son of Man? Except the only difference between the Son of Man and the shout and voice is that he comes with a cloud. But when he comes here to show you it's after the Gentile redemption, he comes with a crown. He comes with a book here, a little book, the Lamb section of the book, to catch the two classes of sleeping. The wise virgins are denominational sleeping to wake them up. And the believers who died in Christ, that they are asleep, the mystery of the two sleeping virgins. Right? And then he comes here now for the 144,000. All right. Now I want to look at one more thing here, if you don't mind. Let us go to Revelation chapter 7. I did this. Do you see this? I'm going to do Revelation 7. Now, Revelation 7. I'm going to take 25 off. We don't need 25, do we? No. I'm going to do Revelation 7 here. And after these things, I saw four angels standing in the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind shall not blow on the earth, nor the sea, nor any trees. All right. Now, we know that that speaks of war. And we know that there is only one war, but three birth pains to the war. Right? You know that, right? And I saw another angel ascending from the east. Now, who's that? That's the covenant angel. You say, how do you know that's the covenant angel, Brother Tony? Because he is bringing the seal. Having the seal of the living God. And the seal of the living God don't come under the first six trumpet. It comes under the seventh trumpet. And if he's bringing the seal, he has to bring a message, a word of truth for them to believe it. And after they believe it, then they are sealed. That's how the order go. After you hear the word of truth, you are sealed until the day of your redemption. Well, do you think God will seal them before they hear the message of Moses and Elijah? No. And who is going to anoint Moses and Elijah with that message? The mighty angel that come down. So this is Daniel 12. All right, this is Daniel 12. Now I want to show you something. I am doing all of this under the Jewish plan. And somehow it's filling in the spots under the seventh seal in the Gentile plan. Because what did God do? God crossed the revelation. He took the revelation of the seventh trumpet and placed it under the seventh seal. And he took the revelation of the seventh seal and placed it under the seventh trumpet. And that's why when the prophet says, I saw those seals, those trumpets. He said one unfolded yesterday and he was preaching the sixth seal. And under the sixth seal the trumpets blew. So he saw the Jewish plan. And that's why he wants to go now and expand on it. And he says, you already preached it. Say you already preached it, right? But it wasn't the time because he didn't catch the thoughts. It's later on in Feast of the Trumpet, he began to make the statement. You see, what the seventh seal is to the bride, to the Gentile, is the seventh trumpet to the Jews. You see, it's parallel. He's dropping the keys for the bride, you know, like Hansel and Gretel. He's dropping the little keys for her. All right. Now, watch again. How many sees this? Now, it's the same angel coming to anoint Moses and Elijah. Because note what it says. Having a seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four winds whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. That's how the war was stopped supernaturally. Right? and saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we, there you go, Moses and Elijah. So the we here becomes Revelation 11, 3 and 4. Is that not the we there is Moses and Elijah, my servants? Well then, that's Revelation 11. And Revelation 11 and 3 is a mystery. It's a period of time between Revelation 10 and 1 to 7. Then comes Revelation 11, right? 3 and 4, which is Moses and Elijah. Right? And then comes Revelation 11, 15, which is the trump, the seven trumpet. So Moses and Elijah come. So you have Revelation 10, 1. Watch what he's trying to show you. That before Revelation 11, 15 comes, which is the seven trumpet, before the seven trumpet finishes works and the millennium is introduced, you have Revelation 10, which is a Gentile prophet. And then soon as the chapter is finished, you go over to Revelation 11, 1 to 4, you pick up two Jewish prophets. And where are those Jewish prophets supposed to be? Here. Now watch again. Watch again. You see this we here? That's Moses and Elijah. Keep that in mind. So now we have Revelation 6, which is the sixth seal. You have Revelation 8 and 1, which is the seventh seal. And between here is the seventh trumpet. Really, you have 5, 6, and 7 trumpet being revealed between the 6th seal and the 7th seal, because Revelation 7 speaks of World War 1, World War 2. Is that right? And it speaks of Moses and Elijah, we. It speaks about the seal, the sealing them. So that's Daniel 12. So we pick up the Michael Commission again. So between the sixth and seventh seal, you have 5, 6, and 7 trumpet. And so this will take us between 1914 all the way to the rapture of the bride, the shout, voice, and trump, isn't it? Is that right? The bride goes up. Now the reason I want to do that is this. Is that, did you notice that between the sixth seal and the seventh seal, which is the Gentile plan of redemption, that he said there's only silence here? He said we have nothing to go on. So then what is he going on? Well, he really gives me a new one. The only thing we have to go on is Revelation 7. So if God put Revelation 7, which is the mystery of the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpet, it means that when Brother Branham took the seventh seal and was talking about the Jewish plan, he was really revealing the Gentile plan. If you know the plan, you just switch one prophet, two prophet. Michael here, Michael here. Open book here, open book here. Right? How many understand what I'm saying? Right? Now, let's do one more. Revelation 8 and 1 is equal to Revelation 4 and 1. Because in Revelation chapter 4, the rapture takes place. Even though Revelation 4 is written first, it does not take place. It takes place in Revelation 8 and 1. Right? So Revelation 4 and 1, let's get it. Remember, I am just trying to show, if you want to understand the book of Revelation, you got to catch the intervals. The mystery between the sixth and seventh vial, the mystery between the sixth and seventh trumpet, the mystery between the sixth and seventh seal. And before I close, I'm going to show you one that we missed. When I say me, I mean including myself. But he will only give it in the time that we have need of it. that there is a mystery between the sixth and seventh church age. But at that time, Brother Branham did not break into the mystery of the intervals. He preached that in 1960. So when he was preaching at the 1960 the Revelation series, he did not see the intervals. He didn't see it clearly. So he just spoke it and moved on. He called it an overlap. He didn't call it an interval. He called it an overlap or an overlapping. That's where we missed it ourselves. Right? But God don't change. If there's always a mystery between the sixth and seventh, right? Then it must be for the church ages, for the seals, for the trumpets, for the vials. After this, I looked, and a door was open in heaven. All right, colon. A long period of time does not mean continuation of time. And the first voice which I heard as there were trumpet talking to me, he's connecting the church ages is over. The church ages is over. Which said, come up. Which said, come up hither. And the come up hither, Brother Bam said, that's the rapture. And when he said, and I will show thee, things must be hereafter. He said, that's after the bride goes up, then she sees even greater things. Amen. Because when the judgments are happening on the earth, the bride is in Revelation 19. Let's go to her now. Let's see this part here. And I show thee things that must be hereafter. Go on up. Of course, you know I'm reading from the Revelation chapter 4 series, Revelation series. And after this, I looked, and behold, a door was open. Okay. We need Revelation 19. We need Revelation 19. Watch carefully. Now, after Revelation, this is Revelation 19. After these things, what things? After the atomic bomb dropped in the Vatican. You see, we see it by Revelation now. But we will see it up there, literal. Right? Because after the supper happens, we have front row seats. For the 3.5 years, we are occupied with each other. Nothing is happening on the earth. The Lord hasn't come down. So we're not worried about that. But our God is on the earth doing battle. And after the 3.5 years, we want to know what's going on. But this is not by revelation. This is by actuality. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying hallelujah to what? Salvation, glory, and honor and power unto the Lord our God. What happened here? Stop right there. What happened here? Let's go to Revelation 11 and 15. What happened there? Why are they saying hallelujah? See, once you catch the interval, these statements don't go sometime in one statement. One statement in a verse can be separated either from the Gentile to the Jews. You understand what I'm saying? The only way to know is when you catch the intervals, then it begins to open up for you. Watch carefully. And the seven angels sounded, and there was a great voice in heaven. That's the seventh angel sounded, the seventh trumpet. What now? What is he sounding? The kingdom, this world, have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ and shall reign forever. In other words, they're seeing something when they're up there. Let's read Revelation 19 and 1 now. Let's see what they're seeing. And after these things, after the great bomb drops in the Vatican City and the rich men begin to mourn and, you see, because we know that by Revelation, we haven't seen that because we will not be here to see that. Right? But after the 3.5 year supper, then those things will happen because the Lord will descend with Moses and Elijah. Then our focus turned to the literal. So now, after these things, I heard a great voice of much people. After it is bombed, after the harlot is judged, after the beast is taken care of, then we now see and it's come to the end. Amen. And we are beginning to say hallelujah, salvation, glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. Amen. Why? Because the revelation, the seventh trumpet has done its work. And then he goes on to say he just dropped the bomb. He just bombed the Vatican. Ahab was already bombed already. Then he says, for true and righteous are his judgments. I know people thinking that we are saying that here on the earth. But we only see the revelation of it now. The actuality of it. We are going to testify that it's just. For he had judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth. Now, notice, he's not talking about America. He's talking about the source of America's corruption, which is Jezebel. Amen. God cleaned up Ahab first, then Jezebel was last. The source of corruption was always last. Which corrupted the earth with her fornication and avenged the blood of his servants at her hands. Amen. Now, and again, they said hallelujah, and her smoke rose up. Notice the connection. Her smoke rose up. Right? And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, amen, amen. Notice at the judgment of the great whore. Now, look, we're reading this. We know what's going to happen, but we haven't seen it. Now, watch what I want to show you, the key. Brother Branham said the bride is raptured in the fourth chapter. I just showed you right here, which is under the Revelation 8 and 1, the seventh seal. She's raptured under there. And the bride is not seen again until when? Revelation 19. Where are you seeing this bride? She's in heaven. Testifying. Watch. Who are they worshipping? This oneness will have a hard time with that. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God. Who do you think that is? That's the Son of God. Who's supposed to lead worship? Amen. Amen. And ye shall be my, and praise ye our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, small and great. Let's take that up. Revelation 19 and 5 is Hebrews 2 and 14. Let's read the, you gotta maybe read the 13th. You don't use it, you. Right. 13, yeah, that's it, 13. Read the 12th verse. Okay, now, this is what the Son of God is saying. I will declare your name unto my brethren. Now, you know God is not called my brethren. And you know he's the firstborn of how many brethren? Many brethren. Saying, I will declare your name, Father. All right, now, let's skip that right there. That's not the first. Stop right there. Let's go to John 17 and 6. I have what? Hear the word manifest. I have manifested, declared. Right, go on. Let's read the whole thing. To show, to manifest, to declare, to manifest or visible or known what has been hid. I have manifest all your hidden qualities. You're a healer, I show I'm a healer. Amen. You're a discerner of the heart. I could show that. I've manifested thy name. And your name and your character and your ability is the same. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, what do you think you're saying? You're identifying him by his attributes. So he manifests. So let's see now. Go ahead now. Here's Hebrew. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou givest me. Thine they were, and thou givest me them, and they have kept thy word. Now watch key. Have you known this revelation? Because if you do, and now they, you, have known that all things whatsoever given to me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I, you are my source, you are my Father, and they have believed that thou. Let's go back now to Hebrews 2:13, 2:12. Watch. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. When will this happen, Brother Tony? He already did it when he was on earth, but he's going to do it now in heaven with the redeemed. I will declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the what? Who is the church? The church is not seen again until Revelation what? Now, how is he going to declare? How is he going to declare thy name in the midst of the church? How is he going to sing praises unto thee? How is the Son of God going to do that when the church hasn't been raptured yet? I cannot hear you. If he hasn't been raptured yet, the only place he could do that is in heaven under Revelation 19. Agreed? You still believe that we won't have TV over there? You still believe that our sight will be limited to the update cast you're going on down there? When all the focus and all attention is in the judgment of the whore that goes all the way back to them that kill Abel? You still believe that it will not be worldwide attention? You say, Brother Tony, can you prove it? Yes! When they kill his servants on the earth, all over the world see their bodies lying on the street through satellite. But when God killed the harlot and burner, we will be seeing him it in heaven. And guess what happens then? Then Jesus begins to fulfill this. The only way the church can be together with him so he could sing in the midst of us, the church, is when we are in Revelation 19. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church, I will sing praises unto thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And behold, I and the children which God had given me. Did he give it the Gentiles as inheritance? When do you think that happened, friend? When is it going to happen? That's Revelation 19, isn't it? Let's go back to Revelation 19, see if we can understand it a little bit better now. Amen? Is the reality of the book of Revelation, all we did was find an interval or two. That's all we did. All we did was find the interval with that seventh trumpet. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, he and his servants. And I heard a great voice from heaven saying, in the midst of the voice, many waters. Watch carefully. And I heard, as it were, a voice of great multitude and a voice of many waters, as the voice of mighty thunder, and saying, hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad. Let us stop right there. When does this happen? This happened under the seventh trumpet. Let's read Revelation 11, 17. See what I'm doing? I'm taking that here and placing that on Revelation 19 where the bride, the Gentile bride is here, but we see what's happening in the trumpet, but we are here. Saying, we will give thee thanks, Lord God Almighty, which art and which was and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and has omnipotent reign it. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath is come. Now this is God's wrath. This is not Satan's wrath. This is God's wrath. And the time of the dead that they should be judged, and thou should give reward unto thy servants and the prophets and to the saints and to them that fear thy name, small and great, shall destroy them which destroy the earth. Go continue. Alright, and then now we see we are setting up for the vials to be poured out completely. Okay, now, I just want to do one more thing. Like I don't have time, I have to set it. You see, we made reference that the fifth and sixth trumpet must be distinguished from Jacob's trouble. And there is a pre-tribulation, but the pre-tribulation is only for the Jews. And Jacob's trouble is only for the Jews. So the Jews have two tribulations. One under the fifth and sixth trumpet, and one under the seventh trumpet. This one under the fifth and sixth is not for the 144,000. This is for the mystery under the fifth seal. Let's read it. Can we read it? I have to do one more thing. I have to do the pre-trib. How long is the tribulation period? Except for you. How long is the tribulation period? 3.5 years. How long is the tribulation period? What did Brother Branham teach us? Come on, brothers. It's okay to be wrong here. It's going to be wrong over there. How many? 7 years. You'll be stoned by yourself. You know the good thing? Because we are one people. Because we are not afraid to say what we feel as ministers. Somebody will hear and kill us. So this man believe this. Kill your ministry. What? That is not here. You notice that spirit is not here? You might say that out there as a minister or something. Say, boy, that man, something wrong with you. You don't have him in your pulpit. That's how they operate. But it will not be so with us. We are learning. I am learning. We are learning. How long did the first generation, let me put it the right way. How long did the first generation teach you that Brother Branham taught the tribulation was 3.5 years? No logic taught you anything about the tribulation? What did the, let me tell you, there's only one brave man in this whole area here. That's Brother Teach. That's why he's sitting back here. Brother Teach, what did the great master teach you? 3.5 years. And you believe him. Because Brother Bam said it. Good. That's the honest answer. How many agree with teacher? That is what first generation teaches. That Brother Bam teaches. Alright. So let's take this and I'll close. I haven't got to my point. My point is the doctrine of Christ. Between the 6th and 7th church age, there's what is called an open door. And the open door never closes. The open door brings back the name Jesus versus titles of Father, Son, Holy Ghost. This open door never closes. This is part of the Reformation. And this Reformation starts with bringing back the name and the oneness quoted. Then from this Reformation, it moves to Malachi 4, which brings back a revelation, not of the name, bringing back the name, but bringing back the revelation of the name, which is in a threefold mystery. The mystery of the name, the mystery of the name of my God, the mystery of the name of the city, temple of my God, and the mystery of the new Jerusalem, the name. That's a threefold part. And Brother Branham is showing you that this threefold part of the name, the first fold part of the name, is going to be revealed in his new name, will be revealed in the thunders. We'll pick up that tomorrow, Lord willing. So, I'm doing one thing. And if you could give me control, I'm not going to read this. I'm just going to find that interval. And then from there, we can. You'll never believe what I did. I've got my glasses. Maybe I wouldn't need it. Oh, thank you, brother. Wow. Everybody okay? Mr. Brother Tony, you're really, really long-suffering. We are really learning long-suffering. Yeah, I'm standing here. All right. Watch carefully. I'm doing a pre-trib for us. Now, you see under the fifth seal here, martyrdom, under the 24th and 9th verse over here, we find that it was martyred. They delivered you up and killed you. Oh, wait a minute. I have to... Sorry, brothers. Boy, in South Africa, electricity is slow. I did, brother. It's the second one, right? Oh, there we go. Oh, is that it? Is that? No. I have my notes. Isn't this what I hooked up to? Oh, that's not my notes. What, you want to read it from there, I guess? I can press this. I would have finished this service already. It was the electric. This is not it? Is this not it? Well, this wire pump is from China. This one. No reading. Okay. All right. You can put it up, brother. You'll just take a couple of seconds more, I guess. You can put back up the notes. Now, you see, under the fifth seal, we find here martyrs. And under Matthew 24, you see in Matthew 24:9, here we read to the 13th, we find also there was martyred. They shall deliver you up and kill you. See? That's World War II. That's World War I, really, too. World War II really emphasizes it because it's the same war. And so forth. See, the same seal being open. The fifth seal. So he's saying the fifth seal was open in Matthew 24:9. Right? Go on up. Now the sixth seal being open. Now in the sixth seal is one we are coming to now, 24:29, which is the sixth seal. And then you read Revelation 6 and 12. Now, that's now. Now listen at this. Let's see if we can get out. Now listen to this. Said in Matthew 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. Now watch carefully the prophet. You got to watch him. He interprets and then he lets it go. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. Tribulation. That's not talking about the seven trumpet tribulation. You see, immediately after the tribulation of those days. When this tribulation. This amateur tribulation. So that's not Jacob's trouble. But yet it's dealing with the Jews and not the Gentiles. So there is a tribulation for the Jews under the fifth seal. They died in tribulation under pre-tribulation. And then there is 144,000 that die in a tribulation, but it's called Jacob's trouble. Now watch carefully now. Remember, you told me they taught you these things. Right? So let's see now. Now, I always allow them souls under the altar to be the early Christians. That's 104, paragraph 104. But we found out last night when the Lord broke that seal to us, it was absolutely, it's impossible, it wasn't them. They were gone to glory, plump on the other side. We found out they were Jews that would come up during the time from the calling now, from the calling of the 144,000, which we get into tomorrow night. Between the sixth and seventh seal, the 144,000 is called. Notice that. Between the sixth and seventh seal, the 144,000 is called. And here's what he's doing. The sixth seal is written in Revelation 6. The seventh seal is written in Revelation 8. He said between the chapter 6 and chapter 8 is Revelation, is the 144,000, which is Revelation 7. Right? So if I understand Revelation 7, I know who the we is. I know who the mighty angel is. I know that it's Daniel 12. I know it's a book in his hand. I know he come to deliver. I know he come with the seal of God. Is that right? Guess what I know? I know a lot of things. Right? I know a lot of things. All right. Under 144 in scroll. And then we find out there were martyrs that had been killed and had not yet had white robes on. Right? But their names had been on the Lamb's Book of Life and they were given white robes, each one of them. I want to stop right there now. You know, they already think we're crazy, so let's go a little bit crazier. Who gave them white robes? Not you and not you. Who gave them white robes? Who gave them white robes? Son of Man is very vague. Who? Moses and Elijah. Amen. After they are killed. Amen. Because, brother, somebody said, Brother Branham, God, Gentiles don't deal with Jews. The only way they can get white robes and be spoken in that dimension, it means a ministry that can go beyond the grave, and the only ministry is Son of Man. Was Jesus Son of Man? He went beyond the grave? Old Testament saints? They came up dressed? Amen? William Branham died? Luther was a Trinitarian? He said, why would God heal an old man like me? He said, I've got a what to bring? How many days later he died? Less than a month he died. He's gone. Where did the dove lead him? You think when Luther rise, he's going to be a Trinitarian? They're going to have the same revelation as you? Amen. Well, then when Moses and Elijah died, they are the only Son of Man under the trumpet left. So when they die, they go beyond there, but there's their people are not there yet. Because 144,000 are not killed yet. They are killed first. So the only people they're seeing there is those Jews who died for their testimony of the word, but not for the blood of the Lamb. So what do? They say, hey, look, part of the mystery of the trumpet under the fifth and sixth, you are sealed there, that you are pre-trib. Take these white robes and wait, 1,000 years later, we're coming back for you. But the 144,000, Moses and Elijah have to wait there talking to them people until 144,000 is killed. Then they rise and the 144,000 will rise because that they are going into the millennium. Amen. Well, you know, you want it crazy. Crazy is in style. It is crazy for them, but it's absolute truth for us. Absolute the truth. They died in the pre-trib. So the ones who died in the pre-trib, Moses and Elijah will give white robes when they die. Is that right? And give them instruction because they will only listen to Jewish prophets. I cannot hear you. They will only listen to Jewish prophets. And then they're waiting for Moses. They're waiting for the 144,000 who must be killed. In like manner, they will be killed, but not under the pre-tribulation, under Jacob's tribulation. They were given white robes, each one of them. Now, watch carefully. Seven seal now. Let's just read a couple minutes more. I gotta do this, otherwise we didn't get any work done. Everything I did was a repeat. Just let's read now, real close now. I want you to read with me if you can, because I'm going to refer back to just a little bit. Seventh chapter now is between the sixth and seventh seal. And these things, and after these things, these seals, the sixth seal was loose. And that's the tribulation period. Now, watch carefully. You got to watch that prophet. If you think you understand what he's saying, most of the time we don't. And he said, this was loose and the tribulation was won. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the earth. Right? It should not blow upon the earth or the sea All right, ascending from the east. The church is his son. By birth, Israel is his servant. Watch the placing of Abraham there. See, it's close. He said, and we have sealed 144,000, all the tribes of Israel. All right, want this place here, and then we'll get to the trip. I'm trying to come to a place where I don't have to read the whole thing for you. All right, there it goes. It says here, there's where it's at now. There's where it's at now. There is where it's at. It's at. There's where it's at now. It was the martyrs in the tribulation. The martyrs in the tribulation. Martyrs in the tribulation of the pre-tribulation of Eichmann. Did you catch that? The pre-tribulation. Now you say, brother, why are you making a distinction between pre-tribulation and tribulation? Now let's go to what you were taught. Close this up. You didn't get to see that quote, but I'll tell you where it's at. That quote is in 6 Seal 1:12, right? Okay, they call it a pre-tribulation. All right, now. Everybody okay? It's okay if you sleep on me. It's fine. I just don't want to sleep on you. You get hurt. I wish I can read this for you. At the end of the 3.5 years, he will come like Joseph and make himself known to his brethren. See if I'm right. The bride goes up for the supper, right? When the bride goes up, Satan comes down. Revelation 12. Then somewhere along the line, Moses and Elijah appears. When the bride goes up, then you have 3.5 years supper. It's all right. When does he come down? When does the pillar of fire come back down? When does Revelation 14 can happen? He appears with a cloud and a crown. 3.5 years later. Is that right? So, we know the pillar of fire is coming down to anoint, or Daniel, angel of the covenant, Daniel 12, Michael, is coming down to anoint. Now, the pillar of fire is coming down to anoint through two angels. The first angel is Michael. We know that for sure. The second angel is Gabriel. Right? So you have Moses anointed with Michael, and you have Gabriel anointing Elijah. Now, who announced the first coming of Christ? And Brother Bram said, who will announce the second coming? And everybody said he made a mistake. He did not. Gabriel announced the first coming of Christ to the Jews. Who is going to announce the second coming of Christ to the Jews? Gabriel. Did not Gabriel appear to Zechariah, the priest, to tell him about John the Baptist? And how John the Baptist was to prepare a way to introduce the Messiah? Is that not right? Well, then Gabriel will anoint Elijah, and Michael will anoint Moses. Because you must have, prophets must have what? Ministering spirits? Ministering spirits. For the Jews. So you have, the bride goes up, Satan comes down. So we meet incarnate God in the air. And they meet incarnate devil in the Pope. Is that right? That's what happens here. Then, by the time Moses and Elijah appears, a covenant is made between Jezebel and the Jews. Ahab becomes the lukewarm Jew. A covenant is made, and Moses and Elijah pay after the covenant to curse that covenant. Everybody understand what I say there so far? Now, my question is, How long does it take before Moses and Elijah appears? When we know they can't preach without the Lord coming down. The Lord can't come down until after 3.5 years of the supper. So when does Moses and Elijah appear? 3.5 years later, after the supper happens. Now between the Satan coming down and God coming down to anoint Moses and Elijah, how long is this period here? What is happening? We know what's happening in heaven. What is happening on the earth? What is happening on the earth? The foolish virgins are killed. How long is that period of time? So the tribulation for the foolish virgin is how long? That's what Brother Branham taught. How many believe that? You sure? Now I want to ask you a question. How long is Moses and Elijah going to preach? When does Daniel's 70 weeks start? When Moses and Elijah start. Right? 3.5 years. When is Jacob's trouble going to start? When is Jacob's trouble going to start? Moses and Elijah come. They cry out against that and trouble starts. So, Jacob's trouble is how long? I'm going to read now. Get on that. You have to read. You have to get that. Ladies in church age. Then at the end of that 3.5 years, he will come like Moses did and make him, Joseph did and make himself known. They'll cause a weeping all over and they'll say, they'll separate their families and weep. And they'll get them, where did you get those stars, scars? We can't get it, can we? Let me give you... Oh, my. Why is this not working again? Chinese cable. Oh, my goodness. It has to be the enemy. Oh, you got the notes. The key word is, then at the end of the 3.5 years... You mind if you just read this? We could see how we could study the prophet message, be so bright, quote exactly what he says, and it be taught to you, and you'd be in sin and don't even know it, and repeat it over and over and over, and you don't even know you're in sin. I think the smart ones already realize that there's a complication, because if the 3.5 years... is when Satan comes down and he squirts water out and he wants to kill these foolish virgins. But Moses and Elijah don't appear till 3.5 years later. Then Jacob's trouble is 3.5 years. Because God is dealing with the Jews in time, but he don't deal in time with the Gentiles. So this 3.5 years here really it has nothing to do with the Jews. This is Gentile here. So there's a Jewish 3.5 years and there are Gentile 3.5 years. And Brother Branham spoke of both. But because we only got stuck with one thing, 3.5 years. So you have the Jackson group believe preaching 7-year tribulation, which is wrong. There is no class of people have 7-year tribulation. Jews, the foolish virgin have 3.5 year tribulation. And then there's no more Gentiles. And God don't deal with them and them at the same time. I can't hear you. Is that right? Then Moses and Elijah come down to deal with them. And only then they can have their 3.5 years. But there's no class that has 7 years. Are we ready? I got to read this. If I don't read this for you, you say, ah, he's sounding good, but you got to see the prophet say it. And when he says it, and you read it, they say, oh my goodness, amen, look how high, happy I was preaching sin and didn't know it. And then, at the end of the 3.5 years, he'll come like Joseph and make himself known to the brethren. He cannot come back to make himself known until the supper, 3.5 years later. And how long does he take to do that? And then they'll be weeping and separate their family and so forth. Now let's get to the next one. Now, Daniel 12, you have it there. I'm taking the same order I gave to you. Daniel 12 said that everyone that was found written in the book would be delivered. Daniel 12 is the seventh trumpet. Right? He said, here God is about to deliver his second son Israel after the tribulation. This is sixth seal, friend. Right? Now Daniel said, 16. Now Daniel said that everyone that was found written in the book would be delivered. Here God is about to deliver his second son Israel. How much? After the what? After what tribulation? I thought they delivered in the tribulation. So now, the revelation of the sixth seal is this. Is that God deliver Israel after the tribulation and he delivered them in the tribulation. He delivers them after the foolish virgin tribulation. And he delivers them in the troubled tribulation. Right? Can we be really wrong? Can we really be taught wrong and show the quotes wrong? And because we are not converted, we will read it wrong. We'll understand it wrong. Because he promised, unless you are born again, you cannot what? See. You're reading it and you can't see it. Is this as plain as he is as it is? Now, watch the key. Everybody happy? Now, watch the key. The quote here. The same quote. The same quote, brother. Sorry, the same quote. They were so tired back there. They can't see ABC. It's the truth. You know, I know you're tired, but if I leave this hanging, guess what's happened? Here God is about to deliver his second son, Israel, after the tribulation. See, the second time Israel. Israel is his son. You know, Israel is God's son. He's going to deliver him here in the tribulation period. After the tribulation, in the tribulation. After the tribulation, for the foolish virgin being killed. And then in the tribulation, Jacob's trouble. There's no 7-year tribulation for nobody. There's only 3.5 years. But since he don't deal with Jew and Gentile at the same time, they don't use the laws of the prophet to rightly divide the word. There is a pre-tribulation. There is a tribulation. And then there's a Jacob trouble tribulation. There's 3 tribulation right there. One second. Let me give you 3 witnesses, right? Would you like another witness? Remember that we have would come right after the tribulation. Okay, Christ, the first one does not go through tribulation. All right, let's close that up there. The reason I can tell you these things is because we are able to find the key that the prophet tells us, that between every 6 and 7, there's a mystery. There's a 6 and 7 trial. There's a mystery of the fourth seal hidden in there. You'll see, maybe we can do that tomorrow. Between the 6th and 7 vial, there's a fourth seal mystery that is in there, showing you that under the fourth seal, the mystery of the false anointed one is revealed. And the prophet uses that in the false anointed one to show you how important that mystery is. Then between the mystery of the 6th and 7 trumpet, that's where you're going to find the mystery of your 7th seal. And then under the mystery of the 6th and 7 seal, that's where you're going to find your mystery of your 7th trumpet. You say, why did God do that? Between the mystery of the 6 and 7 church ages, there's a mystery of an overlapping called the open door. And when you begin to place these gaps, it begins to place the entire book of Revelation. What is historical? What happens on earth? What is revealed on earth? And what we see happening literally in heaven. In heaven and looking down and seeing what God is doing while we are up there. Amen. Is it becoming a reality to you? Is the Bible becoming a new book? Amen. Is there things in the Word that we thought we knew? But we come to find we didn't know it at all. Amen. I know that you have suffered. I pray that God will bless your investment that you have made here. And as I say, the aim is for these men to realize how important they are. Stand in the gap. You are the first to be shot with arrows, first to be reproached, first to be criticized. But just remember, if you weren't important, they would not be doing that. God bless you. God keep you. Cause His face to shine upon you. Give you much grace. Tomorrow, I will do the rededication of the marriage vows and covenant. I believe that it's part of Christ and the church. And Brother Bram said, you know, he said, really, marriage belongs in the house of the Lord. He said, marriage does not belong in some backslidden magistrate or drunk or something. And certainly it does not belong to the priest of Baal to do it. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Cause His face to shine upon you and give you much grace. Brother Louis. Amen. Brother Hein.
Amen. You enjoy the word of the Lord? Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Amen. If I could have the musicians. What powerful revelation. Did you enjoy that? Amen. Hallelujah. We are certainly a privileged people, and we want to thank again our precious brother Tony for expounding the word of God to us. We certainly enjoyed it. Amen. Let's just sing a little song. One more time, Hour of Enlightenment. And I'll call Pastor Louis on this after just to dismiss us. Amen. The hour of enlightenment, exclusive to the bride. The hour of enrichment, straight through to fire. Have we been enlightened? Hallelujah. Yes, we know. We know there's starlight. We know there's moonlight. But now we're resting in the sunlight. we bow our hearts and now let's ask Brother James to come forward from Zimbabwe to close the service for us in a word of prayer, Brother James.
Let's all pray. Dear Father God, we are so grateful, Lord, to be gathered in this manner, Lord, in this place. No doubt, Father God Almighty, our hearts are enlightened. No doubt, Father God Almighty, we have got joy in our hearts, Lord, to be identified in this day with this message, with this revelation. We are so thankful, we are so grateful. Father God Almighty, we are so thankful, Lord, as we come to the end of this service. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that may you continue with us. Now as we depart from this place, we ask for your grace and mercy, Lord, upon each and everyone that was gathered in this place. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, that may you continue to guide us, continue to lead us. May you continue to nourish even our hearts, Lord, as we ponder over these things that we have heard. Father, we pray, O dear God Almighty, may you pour out your Lord, even your Spirit upon each and every one, Lord God Almighty, that was in this in divine presence, O dear God Almighty, tonight. Lord, may you bless the preacher once again. May you continue, Father God Almighty, to use him. May you continue, Father God Almighty, even to open up, Father, all these channels, Father God Almighty, that we may feed, O dear God, from your divine gift, Lord. For we realize, Lord God Almighty, it's a golden age unto us, Lord, that we have believed. For we realize, Father God Almighty, as we see your hand outstretched, Father God Almighty, in this day. Lord, we are so thankful, we are so grateful. Blessed be your name. We thank you. We magnify your name. We praise you, Lord God Almighty. We ask all these things, believing in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. You can turn to your neighbor, say, God bless you. Amen. And while the band dismisses us with the song again, amen. You can just play.